Now let's get into the message. That's what we're here for, to be changed and challenged by God. So here we go. We're going to be talking about parenting in our Family Matters series, parenting. Let me say this before we continue, because some of you might be going, I don't have kids, or my kids are at the house. Parenting doesn't stop when your kids are grown. Parenting doesn't stop when you got grandkids. And let me just, for the sake of the discussion, let's not limit parenting to biological kids. What about stepkids or foster kids or grandchildren that you're raising or nieces and nephews that you're raising or people you've taken into your home? Parenting just isn't limited to they were birthed DNA from you. Parents come in all different shapes, sizes, and forms. And I would say this, it's a great responsibility as a parent. And we as a Christian parents, people who love Jesus, have even a greater responsibility because we are shaping and molding the future leaders, the future church leaders, the future community people that are going to do something different than might the culture be in charge of. And so we have a huge responsibility. And as a parent, I want you to know this, whether it's a grandparent, a parent of your kids, a step parent, a foster parent, an adopted parent, you fill in the blank of any other area you want to put in there. Our greatest role as that parent is to take dependency off of us and see our children put complete dependency on God. Let me say that again. Our role as a parent is to take complete dependency off of us and put total dependency on God. Well, let me help you understand something. Like, okay, God wants to have rule and reign in their life and to lead and direct them in any path that they would go. And oftentimes as parents, we want our children to depend on us. We like them to call our number. Sometimes they call a little bit too much. But the point is we like to feel needed. We like to feel wanted. Unfortunately, what happens in this situation, if we're not weaning them off of us and transitioning them to God, then we become their source, and we were never meant to become their source. God is their source. He is their provider, not mom and dad. He is the healer, not mom and dad. He is the marriage fixer, not mom and dad. He is the conflict resoluter, not mom and dad. He is the one that fixes all those things, not mom and dad. And unfortunately, in our society today, mom and dad fix or tried to fix everything. And as we can see, it's not working. They keep coming back because your fixing doesn't work. You know, it's equivalent to this. You know, as a parent, we do things when our children are young. We feed them, we cook for them, we tie their shoes, we change their dirty diapers, we lick our thumbs and fix their eyebrows. We do all that stuff when our children are young. But if your son is 35 years old and he walks in the room and throws his foot on your lap and says, "Can you tie my shoe, please?" And you're still changing his dirty diapers. And you walk over to him at the mall and do that move. Something is wrong, but let me just say something to you. We have 35 and 4-year-old men and women still living like that because mom and dad have not made the transition. Let me give you some examples because you know what I'm talking about. They still live at home. They still ask you for money. They call you anytime they got a problem. They need you to fix anything. They don't have a job, so they run back home again. They ran out of furniture, so you bought it. You're putting food into the house. You're doing all these things. They're grown. They should have learned how to depend on someone other than you. But because you took the responsibility of doing it all, they have not yet built a muscle to rely and trust in God for things in their life that only God can give. And so we as parents, if we don't wean them off of us and onto God, that doesn't mean that they don't need us anymore. That means they need us more because we will be there to lead and direct and help them counsel through what God wants for their life. But if we don't do that, we are doing them a disservice. And now we have young grown adults, 35 in age, but 5 in the mind. Don't know how to fix anything. Don't know how to keep a job. Don't know how to honor their parents. And then when you don't, they play the manipulation game and make you feel bad. Make you feel bad for all the things you didn't do in their life. And try to make you feel low so you give in again, only to repeat the cycle over and over and over and over again. So our role as a parent, as a Christian parent, is to learn how to help them trust God for everything in their life and not me. And I will be a voice that will build that trust, but I will not be the trust person that they call on every time they need it. Let's read something in Psalms chapter 127. Go ahead and turn with me there. Get some Bible calisthenics. Psalms chapter 127. If you don't have a Bible, can't afford a Bible, we will give you one. We have them here at our church. We purchased them to make sure everyone has the Word of God. Also, if you didn't come prepared, it will be on the screen for you. But it says this, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." Let me say something to you. We just don't look at little kids. I know our culture does that and go, "Babe, I want a little girl with a bone in her. Can we get one of those?" No, it's not one of those. It's a child. It's a future. It's a dream waiting to be lived. And sometimes we get this idea in our mind that if I just have one of those, it'll make our family more of a family. I could paint the room pink. I could paint the room blue. And I'll be able to watch them play games. And it's going to be fun. And we forget that it's a training ground for them to be a man or a woman in society and not a toy that we carry around that are proud of with a daffodil in her hair and so she can look cute and people will talk about her eyes. No, it's not her eyes and her hair and it's not his cuteness. It's not how cuddly he is. It is a future waiting to happen. And God has entrusted us parents, you parents, those of you that are grandparents, foster parents, step parents, you fill in the blank, have trusted us with a huge responsibility because we are given the responsibility either to propel them into their future or to destroy it. Let me say that again. Mom and dad, you will either destroy their future or propel them into their future. God trust us. And here's what's crazy. He could have trusted anybody. He could have gave that son or daughter to anybody. He could have put that foster kid in any home. He could have had that adopted kid be adopted by any parent. He could have had those grandchildren being raised by you, grandma and grandma, by anybody. He could have used any uncle or any aunt to take care of what someone else neglected to do. But he chose you. And because he chose you, you are held to a high honor and to a high privilege because you have their future in the palm of your hands. And if you're not careful, you will set them up for failure or you will set them up for success. It says this, "Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is a man has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate." As a parent, God has entrusted us with an honor of unleashing the God-given potential in them. That's your job. Your job. The Bible says this. "Teach your children in the way that they should go, so when they're old, they will not depart from it." It's your job to instill the God living destiny inside of them. Not the church's job. We're going to help, but it's not our job. It's your job. We're going to echo what you should be saying. We're going to promote what you're promoting that's biblical. We're going to build what you're building. But it's not the church's job to make sure your kid goes the way it's supposed to go. It's your job. It's not the church's job to make sure your daughter doesn't get pregnant at 16. It's your job. It's not the church's job to make sure your kids don't grow up and do drugs. It's your job. And God has selected you and he felt as if you were qualified. Listen to me. He didn't make a mistake when he brought the kid into your life. He knew full well that you are fully capable of doing what God wanted you to do. But are they just a cabbage patch that you carry around? Or are they a world changer waiting to be unleashed? Are they going to repeat your history or leave a new legacy? It's how you view them, and how you view them is going to dictate how you live. It says this in Deuteronomy chapter 11. Let me give you some background. So here we are, Deuteronomy chapter 11. The Israelites were in Egypt, and they were in slavery in Egypt, and they were beat up and made fun of and treated as low individuals. And God showed up on the scene and rescued them from Pharaoh. And there's all these plagues that happened. And the Red Sea opened up and they walked over on dry ground. And then God provided for them in the wilderness. He fed them by himself. He clothed them by himself. The Bible says that their shoes, soles didn't even wear out. And God took care of them and provided food from heaven and gave them quail and man and all this other kind of stuff and provided them for over 40 years. And now they're about to enter to the promised land that God had set up for them. They didn't earn it. They didn't deserve it. But God saw something special in them and was getting ready to give it to them. And so Moses and Joshua was having this conversation with these people, and this is what they say. In verse 1, so love God your God and guard well his rules and regulations. Obey his commandments for the rest of time. Today it is very clear that it isn't your children who are front and center here. They weren't in on what God did, didn't see the acts, didn't experience the discipline, didn't marvel at his greatness, the way he displayed his power and the miracle signs and deeds that he let loose in Egypt, on Pharaoh King and Egypt and all his land. The way he took care of the Egyptian army, its horses and chariots, burying them in the waters of the Red Sea as they pursued you. God drowned them. And you are standing here today alive. Let me help you understand this. What he's doing is he's giving a charge to the parents. And so some of you might have been only saved for a little bit of time. So all of us have a past. Let's just put it that way. And a lot of us, our kids might not have saw our past. Or might not have saw our struggle to get through the past. And what he was telling the people was, look, you have to live an obedient life. You have to honor God because your kids didn't see all the stuff I did for you. See, some of your kids didn't see how you were sleeping around in high school. Some of your kids didn't see how you was addicted on a drug. Some of your kids didn't see how all the dumb choices you made. And so we've got to live a life that's God honoring because they didn't see that. They didn't see that God was at work. They didn't see that God was doing some new stuff. And then it goes on to say this. Nor was it your children who saw how God took care of you in the wilderness up until the time you arrived. What he did in Dathan and Abiram and the sons of Eliab and Reuben. How the earth opened its jaws and swallowed them with their families, their tents and everything around them right out in the middle of Israel. Yes, it was you, your eyes, that saw everything great that God did. So it's you who are in charge of keeping the entire commandment that I command you today, so that you'll have the strength to invade and possess the land that you're crossing the river to make your own. Your obedience will give you long life on the soil that God promised to give your ancestors and their children, a land flowing with milk and honey. Let me say this. Your obedience not only affects your kids, but your grandkids. Your obedience to God not only affects your children, but your children's children. See, they weren't there. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Where, you know, God provided some way for you to get some money because you didn't have no money, and God made a way for you. God made a way for you to get off that drug. God made a way for you to restore that marriage. God made a way for you to fix some things in your life. God made a way for you to get off that addiction. God made a way for you to do something amazing. That's why God is holding us accountable, because he made a way. We remember, we saw, we were there. I know what it was like being on the other side, but God did something amazing in my life. And because of that, it is now my honor to obey him. Because I remember being a slave. Here's the difference between a slave and a servant. A slave unwillingly has to obey, but a serving willingly gives their rights away. See, I remember being the slave where I didn't have a say in the matter. I was just sinning crazy and it was just nasty. But now I get to choose to obey because God's been so good in my life. As a parent, that's our job. And then we look down in verse 18, it says this. Place these words on your heart. Get them deep inside of you. Tie them to your hands and your foreheads as a reminder. Teach them to your children. Teach what? Teach how God brought you out. Teach how God restored your marriage. Teach how God got you off a drug. Teach how God provided for you when there was no money. Teach how God got you a good job when you came from a family who had no jobs. Teach how God got you out of welfare when you grew up in the welfare system. Teach how God brought you and got you a good education when you didn't have one. Teach how God done something inside of you that you couldn't do on your own. Teach how God. See, some of us parents aren't teaching how God. We just live a life now where now this is what we do, son, and you just need to do it. No. Teach them. Expose yourself. We live in a society where the past is to be covered. And no one wants to expose their negative situations and what they did. I believe it's a failure to our society, because when we expose our past age appropriately to our children, it allows them to see that God can still make miracles happen today. That God, if he can change my dad, surely he can change me. That you can use those moments so they can see that anything is still possible. That it's not just about all the successes, but some of my failures, son, is what helped me become the man that I am today. And God disciplined me, and he showed me, and he taught me, and he comforted me. And so I'm willing to teach all these things as a reminder, because they won't know how come dad is the way he is today if they don't see who he was yesterday. Teach them to your children. Tie them. Talk about them wherever you go, sitting at home or walking in the street. Talk about them from the time you get up in the morning until you fall in bed at night. Inscribe them on the doorposts of the gates of your city so that you'll live a long life, a long time, and your children with you on the soil that God promised to give your ancestors for as long as there is sky over the earth. See, let me just say something. Teaching your children is just not telling your children. Most things are caught, not taught. Let me say that again. Most things are caught, not taught. When your kids are young, they'll do what you say. But when they're old, they'll do what you do. Let me say that again. When your kids are young, they will do what you say because you have the authority to tell them what to do. I'm dad, you're going to do what I say. You're going to go to church because I said so. But if you stay home every Sunday to watch your football team, when they're older, they're not going to want to come either. You're going to not do that. You're not going to be dating these kind of guys, daughter. But if you're sleeping around with all kinds of dirt bags, she'll do what you say. But when she's older, she's going to do what you do. You can say, no, you can't talk about your teachers like that. Don't you disrespect pastor like that. Don't you talk about authority like that. But if you're running your mouth out the side of your mouth about their teacher, about your pastor, about their dad, about their mom, they'll do what you say, but when they're older, they'll do what you do. You know, what's interesting is all of us got that. We all said, I'm never going to be like my mom. I'm never going to be like my man. Then all of a sudden, in that one instance, it, boop, I was never going to yell at my kids like my mom. Oh my gosh, I sound like my mom right now. Right? And you start saying this, oh my goodness, I sound like my dad. What am I doing? Look, here's why. Because your whole life, you saw images over and over and over, and as much as you heard it, it never transferred to your heart because the images outweigh the voice. See, when your kids are young, they'll do what you say. But when they're old, they'll do what you do. So if your life is wishy-washy with Christ, I hate to break the news to you, theirs probably will be too. We're going to pray against that, but it's your job to live against that. When they're young, if you're disrespectful and dishonoring and you say one thing and you tell them to do one thing, but they don't do it, you need to keep your room clean, but your room is a mess. When they're young, they'll do what you say because they don't have no choice in the matter. But when they're old, they will do what you do. So my question to you is, parent, what are you doing? How are you living? What are the choices that you're making? Who are the people you're allowing in your life? What are the decisions that you, whatever you want for you? Here's a good saying, and you should write this down. It's not on the thing, but I should have put it in there. You can't give your kids something you don't have. You can't give your kids something you don't have. As much as you want your kids to have a good marriage, you better get one. Because you can't give your kids something you don't have. You can wish for it. You can pray for it. God can supernaturally intervene. But you can, baby, if I had the money, I would buy you a new house. You can't give them something you ain't got. What are you getting in your life to ensure that you can give it to your kids? Do you got generosity? Do you got obedience? Do you got grace? Do you got mercy? Is forgiveness pumping through you? Is insecurities fleeing from your life? Are you secure in who God made you to be? Because you can't give your kid something you don't have. I don't ever want my kids to struggle with a drug like I do. Well, you better get off it. Because you can't give your kids something you don't have. See, most people believe that because I'm the parent, I need not to explain myself. I think it's a disservice and a missed opportunity to show your kids the heart of your decisions, not just the yes or no. See, oftentimes we say things like this. Maybe you said this. I know I've said this. I know my mama said this to me. Go to your room. Why? Because I said so. Well, what I got to go? Because I said so. Well, what I got? Because I said so. Can I watch that? No. Why can't I watch that? Because I said so. Well, why can't I watch that? Because you said so. Because I said so. Don't be asking me no questions, boy. Anyone ever said, sound like that? Heard that? I'm not saying as a parent you don't have the right to say that. What I am saying is, though, sometimes we miss opportunities to give the heart behind why we said that. For instance, if you don't want your kid to watch something, right then would be a good time to explain why. Here's why, son, because it's got nudity in it. And I used to struggle with nudity and pornographic images. And when the devil will use that kind of thing to get inside your mind, so that way when you go to school, you'll be looking at girls differently and you'll be searching from side to side. And before you know, when you get into a relationship one day, it's going to mess with you. So, son, I'm not allowing you to watch that because it damaged me. And I know what's best for you, son. So you could use that as a moment to express the heart and not just the no. Because here's what's going to happen. You know what happens when you just give the no? No, you can't watch that. Cover your eyes. Guess what you do? You peek. But with a little explanation, maybe they just might go, man, I don't want that for my life then either. I don't want that. I'm not saying you have to explain everything, but I'm saying some of you are explaining nothing. Son, I don't want you to listen to that. Why? Because I said so. Look, there's been generations raised on the because I said so, and look where we're at. Come on, you remember being told because I said so? Did it work for you? No one wanted to say no, it didn't, but it didn't. You know what I'm talking about. Explain and explain and explain away. Here's some must-dos as a parent. I'm going to give you a couple must-dos and I'll give you a couple must-nots. But as a must-do, here's the number one thing as a Christian that you must do as a parent. You must teach and demonstrate the love of Jesus. You must. Let me say that again. You must. Not Pastor Mekon. Not the Sweet Life team. Not the bridge. You must demonstrate the love of Jesus. You must teach it and demonstrate it. You must find opportunities. Remember it said, when you get up and when you lay down, when you're going and when you're coming, in all those moments, you need to teach and demonstrate the love of Jesus. You need to be demonstrating grace. You need to learn how to show him how God can work in any situation. For instance, if there's a lady stranded on the side of the road and her car's not working and she's in front of you, that is not the time for you to say, oh my gosh, I can't believe this lady won't move. I got to get to work. I'm going to be late and drive by. No. It's the time for you to say, sons, daughters, maybe not daughters, but kids, let's get out the car. We're going to help push this car. Well, we're not strong enough. I know. Here's the good news. When you get out, it makes other people get out. You know that, right? Because then you don't want to be the, oh, I drove by too. No, just get out the car. And especially if you're a woman, just get out. That's all you got to do. 10 guys will stop. They'll come help you. Just get out the car. Forgiving people. Can you teach and demonstrate the forgiveness of Christ? See, it's your job to use everyday practical moments to teach them how God is at work in every area of your life. Also, what about this? Apologizing, saying you're sorry, I did it wrong as a parent. There's been times where I spanked my kids out of anger and I had to go apologize to them because it was the wrong thing to do. They need to see that forgiveness can even come from dad. That dad's not too proud or too big to admit when he's wrong. And sometimes some of you parents, you will hold those things, even though you know you're wrong, you'll hold it to yourself because you're too proud to put your guard down. And I'm telling you, you're missing out on opportunities to show them the love of Jesus. Do you demonstrate grace? Do you have mercy? Do you have love? Are you accepting of all people? Are you invitational or do you just push everyone out? Do you talk bad about people behind their back or do you demonstrate an attitude of Jesus? It's your job to teach and demonstrate the love of Jesus. Number two, you must protect them with healthy boundaries and allow them to set up their own. Now look, I'm just going to help you understand this. They do not know how to put up boundaries. It is your job to put the boundaries up for them. They don't need another friend in their life. I know some of you, amen to me, I'm with you. But look, I'm not talking about kids who are 12. I'm talking about kids who are 45. They don't need another friend in their life. Look, I'm telling you, some of you mamas be calling your daughters, you'd be clubbing together. They don't need a friend in their life. There's only one mom they're ever going to get. There's only one dad they're ever going to get. They need you to be that. They'll have plenty of friends. The friends will come and go. They need you to be dad. They need you to be mom. That doesn't mean be mean. That means you to put up boundaries. And what's interesting is in the earlier text, it talked about this, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. And if you know anything about bow hunting, I'm not an expert bow hunter. I've never been bow hunting, hunting. But I do know a little bit of mathematics. That sounded like I know something, but that doesn't mean nothing either. But when you stick the arrow in the bow, you have to pull, wait for the right moment, take some good deep breaths, and at the right time, release. And at any moment, if you don't retract long enough, no matter how much you aim, it will not meet its destination. If you let go too soon, and no matter how much your intentions were to hit the target, it will not hit the target. And let me tell you something, mom and dad, it's your job to put up boundaries in your kid's life. And what that means is, I'm saying no until the right time to say yes. Let me give you a perfect example. My kid's 10 years old. He does not have a girlfriend. Say no. Am I scared? No, but I know what that happens. You open up a doorway. And if I let go too soon, he might get a girl pregnant like I did. See, some of you, let me help you understand something. You are the aimer on your child's life. And if they miss the target, it's not their fault. Oh, that doesn't sit well. I know it. If they miss the target, it's because you might have let go too soon. If she got pregnant at 16, maybe you let go too soon. If he got hooked up with the wrong crowd, maybe you let go too soon because you were unwilling to say, no, you're not going to hang out with him. No, you're not going to do that. No, you're not going there. No, you cannot have that. No, it's not your time yet, son. One day you will, but now is not the time. No, you can't go. One day you will, but now is not the time. No, you cannot do that. Now is not the time. One day you will. And when God tells me to let go, I will gladly let go and you will reach your destination. But I am unwilling to allow you to fail and drop your legacy off short because I was unwilling to stand strong. Listen to me. It's our responsibility. You are the aimer of their destiny. God entrusted them with you. And if you let go too soon, you will allow them to miss the target. Look, they'll play everything. Well, mom, everyone is doing it. So if everyone starts sniffing butt cracks, you're going to let your daughter sniff butt cracks. No. You see what I'm saying? It's your job to say no, son. We're not doing that yet. And I'll explain to you. Because guess what? You're going to have this girlfriend at 10 and you're going to hold hands with her. And one day holding hands isn't going to be enough. And then you're going to kiss her and it's going to be your first kiss, son. And if you have that first kiss at 11, that kiss is going to turn to something else because it's not going to be enough no more. And then her body's going to start changing and so will yours. And you're going to want to start touching in those places that you're not ready to touch yet because you don't know how to turn it off. And so what happens is if I let go too soon, then your wife will get a messed up you. And I'm unwilling to allow you to do that to your future bride. I will hold tight and ensure that you be the man, the right man for her. And one time you'll be able to do all the kissing, all the touching, all the holding hands you want. But now, it's not the time. I'm sorry, son, but there's some places you will not go. There's some friends you will not hang out with. There's some things that we will not participate in. I'll lead the way. How about that? If you can't watch it, I won't watch it either. How about that? Where's the parents that take that stand? Son, I am making sure. Daughter, I am making sure that you make it. Not all our friends are going to understand. Not all your friends are going to understand. Not all daddy's friends are going to understand. But they're not my kids to raise. You are. And I've been entrusted with you. And I will make sure you hit your destination. Listen to me. I know what you're saying, but it's so hard. I know. Who said parenting was going to be easy? And by the way, there's no right time for every. There's no one equation for every kid. Every kid's different. So with one of my sons, it might be a little bit different than him for one of my other sons. Because temperaments are different, maturity levels are different, and your job is to hear the voice of God to understand when it's time to let go. Number three, discipline them through love. You must discipline your children. You must. And I'm not talking about beat your children. I'm not talking about spank your children black and blue. I'm not talking about yelling and screaming. I'm talking about discipline. Discipline is created to correct behavior. Not to condemn, not to belittle, not to make them feel less than, but to correct behavior. And so whatever method of choice, in my house, we spank, we time out, we take stuff away, we do all three at the same time sometimes. We do it all. Some of you don't like that? Oh, well, they're not your kids. They're mine. They can YouTube me. They can put me on TV. Call CPS. I'll whoop them too. I'll whoop them too. I'm just saying. I'll spank them at Walmart. I'll spank them at Target. I don't care. I don't care. You know what I'm saying? I'm just letting you know. Just letting you know. Call them. Call them. I don't care. CPS, come get me. I'm right here. No, but on a serious note, you need to discipline your children out of love, because discipline was meant to correct behavior, not to be a form of punishment when you're just mad and can't control your own temper. And most of the time, most parents discipline because they've hit their boiling point. Or because I can't control myself anymore, so boy, you better get over here right now. And so you need to get a whooping. Because you're out of line. Because you're no longer trying to change the behavior. You're now trying to blow off some steam that you don't know how to control. See, discipline doesn't have to be this crazy, chaotic event that you're yelling and screaming the whole time. Discipline can happen under composure. Matter of fact, that's the way it should happen. Son, I love you, but you ain't going to be playing this Xbox for a while. I'm sorry. Well, but I know, we can talk about it later, but not right now. It doesn't have to be, I told you! See, mostly that's all you know how to do. And then you get to spanking, and every time you spank, you get loud on the whoop. I told you not to do that. Like, why do you get loud on the, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about. Either you got spanked like that, or your mama does that. My mom would just be crazy. I could see it in her eyes. I was just scared, you know what I'm saying? We had a belt called Andy in the house. All she had to say, I'm going to go get Andy. Don't you dare get Andy. Oh, ooh, I hated Andy. That was the belt. My point is, some of us know about that. We got discipline like that. I'm not, what I'm trying to say is discipline was meant to correct behavior, not to take out your anger. So make sure when you're disciplining with the intention of correcting behavior and not just to, I feel better now. That's wrong. Discipline. Let me say this. Proverbs 13, chapter 13, verse 24. Jordan, you can come. It says this. Those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Let me say that again. Those that spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them. Why? Because you don't want them to make that same mistake twice. And some of us parents, we just feel so bad. Well, I don't want them to be mad at me. I don't want them to hate me. Well, if you discipline that kind of way where you're angry and rude and crazy, they will hate you. But if you discipline with the intent to love and explain, see, that's what explaining comes afterwards, where you say, son, daughter, I had to take this course of action because I can't allow you to do that. Doesn't mean I love you any less. Matter of fact, I love you. That's why I'm doing this. It doesn't give me great pleasure. This is not my favorite thing to do. But I want to teach you that there's consequences for your choices. And as a parent who loves God and loves their children, you must discipline. How you discipline, that's between you and your husband. But you need to do something. You need to make sure you are constantly correcting the behavior. Because if not, you're going to have these kids that are going to grow up with no kind of boundaries and parameters for their life. Sometimes you need to explain. Son, you can't steal. You can't take stuff from the store. Dewey, my 4-year-old son, stole something from the URM and they caught him. He's not a good enough thief, I guess. That wasn't just a moment for us to blow up because we were embarrassed and to be mad and you're going to get a spanking when you get home, boy. It was a moment to teach him, hey, look, people who steal stuff go to jail and they don't get to see their mom and dad. And we would be so sad if we didn't get to see you? Would you be sad if you didn't get to see us?
Sorry, Mom. Will you forgive me?
What we're attempting to do is teach him that there's something greater at risk. And we'll use every moment to show them that. Here's another translation of that same verse. A refusal to correct is a refusal to love. Love your children by disciplining them. Now watch this. The Bible says God disciplines those whom he loves. He doesn't discipline us to make us feel loved any less. He doesn't discipline us to make us feel condemned. He doesn't make a discipline us to make us feel like he must hate us now. That's not the kind of discipline God does. If you ever feel like God hates you, if you ever feel like God doesn't love you, if you ever feel like God's trying to punish me, that's not the God we serve. He disciplines those whom he loves, which means discipline should grow you into a greater love and adoration for him. And we are to emulate that as a parent. Our disciplining our children should not make them love us less or feel like we hate them or feel like they're a failure and feel like they're the one that always does stuff wrong. No, it should demonstrate, son, I am deeply, passionately in love with you. And I love you too much to let you do that. And their love for you should grow because they should be saying things like, Dad, I'm grateful when they get older that you did those things for me. Here's some must-nots and we're done. Number one, you must not expect the church to teach and demonstrate the love of Jesus for you. When it comes to your kids, it's not our responsibility. Now, we're going to echo and we're going to do everything we can because we're generational here. We want the next generation to love and passionately pursue God. And in the 1 hour that we have on Sunday morning and a couple hours on a Wednesday night, we're doing everything to infuse passion and love for God and for Jesus. And we're going to do the best we can. But Mom and Dad, we need your help. Because although they're with us for 1 hour a day, they're with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And most of you, I don't say most of you, but some of you negate everything that we do on a Sunday morning. Talk about generosity, and then you go by the guy with the bell, and you're like, we ain't put no money in there. Get a quarter out. Get a nickel. Do something. Or things that are happening in their life, and then you just, they're hearing about purity, but you keep sleeping around. They're hearing about God and you just, it's not our responsibility. Some people say, well, I'm going to take my kids to church because I don't want them to grow up the same way I did. Look, they're going to grow up the same way you did if you don't get passionate about Christ yourself. It's not our job to teach them. We will, but it's your job. You must not be afraid to put your foot down no matter how old. I don't care if they're 35 years old, ask them for money. You tell them, grow up and get a job already. Well, Mom, I ain't got nowhere to live. Look, some of you won't like this kind of preaching, but I'm going to tell you, I ain't got nowhere to live. After 10 times of moving back in, you're going to have to go to the mission. Well, why do I have to go there? Because that's where people go that can't function on their own. And they got a great program. And we know people that come through. Well, you're going to let me do that? Yes. Because I'm not going to be your fix-all for your whole life. I'm not it. Well, how am I supposed to get to work? The bus? You're going to make me ride the bus? Yeah. You're 35 years old. Matter of fact, get up out of my house. We're laughing, but people go through this every day. 40-year-old son, back at home. 35-year-old daughter, in and out of dumb relationships. Mom, I need some help. And although Mom and Dad, we want to be dependent on, it becomes a nasty taste in our mouth. We hate those phone calls. Friction in the relationship. That's not what's supposed to happen. It's supposed to happen. You're supposed to build them up. And they're supposed to grow in God. So that way they can depend on him. And take care of you. When you're older. Last thing we cannot do. We must not do is be inconsistent. Whatever you're going to do with your life. Be consistent. If it's. We're going to bed at 9 o'clock because it's bedtime for school. Be consistent. If it's, you know, your room must be clean on Saturday or you're not going to be playing the video game. If it's not clean on Saturday, you don't even yell at them. Don't even argue with them. Just take the game. Where's the game at, Mom? Oh, yeah, remember your room? Yeah, it's not clean. No arguing in the house. Well, why? You know why I took it. And then when the time elapsed, put it back out next Saturday. If it ain't clean, wrap that thing up again. don't do things like this. Well, you were grounded for 3 days, but your cousins are going to be here, so you can get off now. See, every mom knows what I'm talking about. See, I used to play my mama. I used to play, but mama. When my kids are grounded from video games, they come to church and they go, Dad, can I play the games in Sweet Life? You're grounded from games. I don't care if you at church. I don't care if you at Game Works. I don't care if Xbox people come to our house. Until next Thursday, you got to be consistent because your word's got to mean something. And if you're inconsistent, your word won't mean nothing. See what I'm saying? We got to be consistent. Amen? You guys learned something? Close your eyes, let's bow our heads, we'll pray. Father God, we pray in this room right now that we would all grow to be better parents.